What drew you to this particular production, to this play?
My wife. My wife is the artistic director, Jeannie Woods. And this is Dan Woods talking, by the way.
Uh-huh.
And she and I had seen this show probably 15 years ago in Charlotte, North Carolina. And it was a very poignant evening of theater. And we had always had an affection for the script. But it was a matter of finding the right actors to do it. And having met our current cast, Kenny and
Becky,
we found the people that we were missing, so we decided to do the show.
And what about, do you prefer Ken or Kenneth or Kenny?
Kenny's fine. That's perfectly
Kenny.
Fine.
What about you? What do you like about this particular story?
Well, I've known about this story for probably about 15 years. I read it in school. I'd always heard the name. But I've always enjoyed the stories of Brian Friel, the plays that he writes. He's such a lyric playwright. And I think this being a memory play, I think it really, really captures kind of this Irish gestus that he's talking about. It's a beautiful story and very, very complex. And that's the kind of story that I really like.
You called it a memory play. Can you explain that?
Yes, and I will try not to give anything away. I apologize if there's a spoiler in here, folks. But all of these characters, the three characters in the play, are telling this story from the future. It is, which sounds very futuristic. But they are looking back on this story, and they're telling it through their memory. So it's not – we as an audience are not exactly sure what is factual and what is perception at that point. But they're looking back on it. But at the same time, this is what makes theater so much fun. We are experiencing it as we are telling it. So it's not a retrospective. It's a memory play.
Right. And the main crux of the story is that the main character, Molly Sweeney, is blind and has been since infancy. And then in the course of the show, she gets her sight back to a point. And the basic crux of the story, where the conflict lies, is how that impacts not only her life, but the doctor who does the operation and her husband and their perceptions of that.
What time frame is this set in?
It's set in the 1990s, so it's fairly modern day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When was this written?
It was written in
94.
94, I believe, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you like the idea of people recalling stuff, so they've all got their own sort of memories of what happened, their own perception of what happened, rather than us just seeing it unfold before us?
Whether it's in theater, it's a time-tested technique. There's a very famous play that every theater student studies called Rashomon, and it was a Akira Kurosawa film back in, I believe, the 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
And telling of an incident from three different perspectives. And the one of the things that's so enlightening about the show is how three people or four people can go through the same experience, and yet their perceptions are so radically different.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating stuff.
Yeah. And I, as an actor, I find it to be really a lot of fun because we get to sift through what is truth, what is fact, what am I leaving out, and what we've had a lot of fun in this rehearsal process with, you know, what are we leaving out? And what aren't we telling ourselves? What aren't we allowing ourselves to remember? And that's, as an actor, I really like to dig into that stuff and hear Dan's perspective on what part of the story he is choosing to tell and why, and Becky, what she is telling and why. And I think with this play, there are more questions posed than answered. It's like a J.J. Abrams script.
Yeah. Do you have to follow the script pretty closely? Not much room for improvising?
No. No. There is no interaction between the characters. It's all monologue.
Mm-hmm.
And very often one character will finish a story and the next character will pick up where they leave off with their perception of the same story. But it's not an interaction as far as conversation. So the chance for any improvisation is quite small. And I think if in those monologues, if we tried to improvise, we'd get very lost.
Yeah.
Is there any point in the story where the three are, I guess, on stage together and interacting, or are these all, like you said, monologues?
We're all on stage together throughout the whole show,
mm-hmm.
but we never interact.
Because we are telling the story from three different physical locations. So we just, we never get to look at each other. It's fun.
If we had a full theater space, the way the show is normally produced is that each character have their own lighting area. And as one person speaks, the other characters are in shadow or in dark. And but because we're doing it at the Old Bailey, we don't have those kind of facilities available to us, so we're using other tricks to direct the audience's focus.
Yeah, does that, since you bring that up, I mean, the Old Bailey House is a tight spot there. I mean, it's a small space. So as actors, I mean, what challenges does that present to you as opposed to being on a full stage?
Well, the challenge, but also the fun, is that the audience is going to be literally, in some instances, 2 feet away from you.
Mm-hmm.
So the acting technique that we're using is closer to what you would expect in film than you would on stage. The large dramatic gestures are gone. There are no facial expression or overarching facial expressions. We're not going to be wearing character makeup or anything like that. But the chance for nuance. With the vocal inflection and the emotional impact of each line is so much greater than it would be in a large stage. So I'm looking forward to it.
Another challenge that this presents is when the other people are speaking on stage, we are obviously not, but the challenge is not to draw focus. And so what do you do for the 7 minutes while the other person is talking without drawing focus in this very confined space, each of us sitting on our own chair?
And staying in character.
Yeah, staying in character. So it's a lot of internal monologue work. What am I thinking about? We can't really focus on what's coming next because that the audience will know immediately that we've come out of the moment because they are right there.
And you can't be, I imagine you cannot be reacting to what someone else is saying.
No, because we're not hearing it in the world of the play. We're not there.
All right. What else you want to tell me about this, or what else do you think people should know about this?
Well, part of the mission statement for Starry Night Theater is that we want to produce theater that warms the heart and also illustrates, the human soul, the human experience. And in the past, we've done shows that are comic and shows that are sweet and shows that are, very sentimental in one sort or another. This is a little darker turn. It's a more serious turn, but it's also, I think, because it's more serious, more poignant. And I think that the audience is going to take away a very strong emotional experience from this show. And that's why I would encourage people to please come. It's going to be a very impactful evening, I think.
Was there a reason this particular story was chosen to do at this particular time, maybe perhaps as we head into the holiday season, Thanksgiving, end of the year, and any tie-in like that?
Well, since it's set in Ireland, the rain and fog is helping a lot.
Is that why the weather's been like this lately?
Yeah, sorry about
that. It's all our fault.
Part of the production.
No, it would, holidays are never mentioned, but I think it was just a matter of opportunity and schedule and availability of cast that decided that we do it now.
All right. And seating, because at the Old Bailey House, it's being so small, seating is limited,
right?
Correct?
We can only seat 25 people a night. So, the presale is pretty good, so...
Yeah.
If people are interested, they should call and make the reservations.
25 per night?
Yes.
That's all you can fit in there?
That's all we can do.
Do you like that? You talked about how close the audience is to you, but I didn't realize the entire space was going to be that small. I mean, do you enjoy having that small of an audience and having them right on top of you?
I do.
Yes. And it's something that has been recommended. There was a Polish theater director named Grotowski who said that's the way you should do the theater, that you should do away with the huge buildings and the auditoriums and all the special effects and the lights and everything and have no more than just a handful of people face-to-face with the actors. And we're finding that what's happening is that the emotional connection between the audience and the other actors is so profound that he may be right. He's got something going there.
The intimacy is incredible. And it's something you're not going to see in Chicago. It's something you're not going to see on a film. So this is a unique opportunity for the folks of Macomb.
All right. And that's November 1st and 2nd, Friday and Saturday, along with next week on Thursday and Friday, November 7th and 8th.
That is right.
Yep,
absolutely. And the performance times are at 7:30.
Okay. And tickets are still available?
They are indeed.
For all shows?
Yes.
Okay. That should do it unless you want to add anything else.
No, I think we're fine.
We're
thanks
good.
Very much, Rich.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for doing this. I appreciate it.
Yeah.